brings all other blessings. Let's keep on reading. It is given according to the riches of the grace of Christ and is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive. We stressed that last week. That the Holy Spirit is given according to your capacity. Little spirit, little capacity. Now there is a sermon coming where I'll talk about how you increase your capacity. But right now, the truth is you get no more than you can handle. Let's keep reading. If all were willing, I need everybody. If all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. So, Pastor Marley, another indicting statement. If all were willing, all would be filled. If, which means if all are not filled, it's because all are not, talk to me, all are not, or to be more personal, I'm not filled because I'm not willing. Let's keep reading. Wherever the need, come on, folk, together. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, we're trying to change that here, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Come on. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power, which is and which would bring all blessings in its train, is lacking, though offered infinite plenitude. Claimed by faith, that's a key phrase. Given according to the riches of the grace of Jesus, that's a key phrase. According to the capacity to receive, that's a key phrase. If we are willing, there's another phrase. A matter little thought of, have mercy. All blessings in its train, offered in infinite plenitude. I guess the uncomfortable thing, Cecil, about this statement is it does appear that the problem is us, not God. Notice all the conditions refer to us. He's willing, we're not. He can fill, we don't have enough capacity. He's ready, but he's little thought of. You see it? Who's the problem? No, no, don't say us, say me. Who's the problem? Yeah, okay. I'm the problem. Manifestation of, lack of, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Well, let's pray. Lord, lead us today in Jesus' name. Amen. We've learned that there are three that bear record in heaven. We learned in the last sermon that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Son of God. The Son of God is a gift from the Father. We've learned in one sermon that the Holy Spirit has been active since the beginning of time throughout history. And we've learned that a gift given must be valued. And the disturbing reality is that we're not value. Listen! We're not valuing the fact that we need the Holy Spirit. And I punched at you a bit last week because, no, two sermons ago, I suggested that we pray for a lot of things. How many times do we, when's the last time you spent a whole prayer session on your knees asking for the Holy Spirit? Ask for healing if we're sick, food if we're hungry, money if we're broke. And yet we just read that this gift brings all others in its train, which means if I pray for the Holy Ghost, All the other stuff will be taken care of. Can anybody say amen to that? It's simple logic. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Did we pray? Good, okay. I told you I'm old, 75. Yeah. There was a woman, very wealthy woman, and this is supposed to be a true story. Her house was bedecked with furniture and artifacts and paintings, even some paintings by the great ones, the masters as they call them. A woman with such wealth, she was able to buy the best of china and tables and tableware. But there was, Cordell, this particular vase in the center of her house. It's kept in a special case, glass case, with a light shining on it. You've seen things like that in a person's house. Her friends and neighbors never quite understood why this vase had such a special spot, because she had so many other more expensive and excellent possessions to display. But her family knew why. Her family knew why. One day she decided to hire a special cleaning company to come in and just kind of dress things up and clean things up and so forth and so on. Brought them in. She left and left specific instructions. When she returned, she found the supervisor, the cleaner, standing there pale and trembling. There was this open case where the vase was kept. And the remnants of the vase were all over the floor. And a few other remnants in a box that they had collected. The supervisor immediately apologized, saying that the worker who had broken it had been fired and begged her not to sue them. Was it insured? He asked. He couldn't help but notice that as he expressed his dismay, the lady was not paying any attention. She was already on her knees collecting the pieces of this vase. And now the gentleman and his staff are watching at this woman, this well-dressed, astute woman, is on the floor, on her knees, gathering the pieces of this vase, tears streaming down her face. One sharp piece she picked up and didn't even notice that it had pierced her and blood was coming from her finger, searching and feeling. And then she turned to them and said, where is the sweeper? And she had them bring the sweeper and she dumped it out and was now rummaging through the trash in the sweeper, trying to find shards, pieces of this vase. She told him, "Don't worry, I'm not going to sue you. I never insured it. I could not put a value on it. Me and my father and my brother made this vase. The rest of the workers couldn't bear it. They had left the room, and the supervisor turned one more time and looked, and as he walked out of the room, there she was, on her knees. And then he said to himself, she's going to put that back together. And he walked out. We'll finish the story at the end of the sermon. Go to Luke, the 4th chapter. Verses 16 through 14. Jesus had come home. His ministry had been launched. Many good things had been heard about him, and his mother in her pride and family in their pride, I'm sure, urged the pastor of the church to allow their young preacher relative to present the word for that day. And so, according to the scriptures and the narrative, he was given the book of Isaiah. And according to the liturgy of that day, the one who speaks sits
receives the word and reads and expounds on it. The passage was Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Stay with me today, saints. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Key words: broken, bruised. Power words in this passage. Descriptive that reveal God's estimation not only of man's condition but of man's need. We are a broken race and a bruised people. Interesting, the word that is used for bruised is a word that means to break or shatter. See, we are the vase. Come on, somebody. And we have been shattered, and some of us have been scattered, and some of us, we can't find all the pieces of us that we've left in trouble and sin. Somebody needs to pick me up and put me back together. Somebody needs to care enough that I am broken. And in this verse, Jesus is acknowledging the indifference that sin has to man's value. Sin, like a bull in a china shop, has, or like a cleaning person in the house, has not with maybe planned intent, but without a sense of valuing, has bumped us and knocked us over and broken us and bruised us and trampled on us and left us bleeding and sorrowing. And what bothers the pastor of the church is that I know every Sabbath when you come to church, somebody is sitting in this church bruised and broken, barely here. Body's here, mind is not here. That may be you right now this morning. There are people who, because of family relationships and because of traumas in life and because of things that happened to you when you were young, when you had no control, who are never, and people don't understand why you're not quite together. They don't understand why you don't think clearly. They don't understand why your emotions are all over the place. They do not know that you were molested when you were a child. They don't know it. They don't know that you saw your mother and father arguing for years. They don't know that you were called stupid by your parents when others were called other kinds of nice and uplifting things. They do not know that you were poor. They do not know that your father was in prison. They do not know. But you're broken and you're bruised. And I hear the voice of my Savior standing in church one Sabbath, sitting in church one Sabbath, say, here's why I'm here. Why are you here? I'm here to deal with the broken and the scattered. But what you did not notice, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to do that. The Spirit of the Lord is on me to do that. Satan not only wants to bruise you and break you, he wants to shatter you. A divorce from the person you thought was the right one. Shattered. A friendship that you thought was the friendship, and you find out the person was being dishonest with you and using you, shattered. Or you find out when you grow up that maybe the person that you thought was your father is not your father, the person you thought was your mother was not your mother, or you find out that there's some skeleton in the closet in the family somewhere hidden from you, shattered. You find out that the church you joined is full of sinners, not saints. And you were foolish enough to come to TPC thinking everybody had wings on their back and found that everybody had horns on their head. Shattered! And you become cold and you become indifferent and you become cynical about the church. And Satan, understanding that his greatest weapon is stepping on us, just keeps pushing and pushing. He doesn't care that you don't understand his tricks. He just wants you to be blinded by his tricks. And he does not want you to know that your brokenness is God's specialty. You cannot be broken more than he can fix. You cannot be scattered more than he can gather. You got to believe that.
You got to believe that. And so the external deformities and diseases and the maimings that we have are small compared to the inner traumas that we bear. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, the Spirit of the Lord, folk, was waiting with anxious hopefulness for the coming of Jesus. Let me explain it to you. See, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Jesus was the forerunner of the Holy Spirit. Did you follow what I just said? See, that's why he hovered over Mary when Jesus was born. Because the Holy Spirit knew Jesus only had 33 years. The rest is going to be on him. Y'all too come for me. And so when Jesus showed up, the Holy Ghost was right there with him all the way, because he knew that if he helped Jesus do a good job, then the way for him would be made. And so it was no accident that Jesus chose this verse to read. The Holy Spirit helped him choose that verse, because the Holy Spirit knew when that verse was written through Isaiah. You know, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. So he knew when he gave that verse to Isaiah that one day Jesus would read it. And he wanted people to know that it isn't just Jesus that is helping the bruised and healing the broken. He wanted to announce, I am the one who also does that. You see, Jesus is limited. He's now in a human form. But the Holy Ghost wants you to know that he's everywhere at once. And when somebody's broken in Texas, he can fix them at the same time he fixes somebody in Africa. At the same time, he can fix somebody in Peru and can fix somebody in Iceland at the same time. He wants you to know, I'm not limited in how I fix. I can heal at the same time everybody at once, if life requires that. The Holy Spirit had to hold himself back so he didn't rush Jesus off this planet. He wanted to get busy. He knew that Christ would set the stage, but he knew that he would be the one that would talk to Henry at night and Frank at night and Derek at night and George at night and Trevor at the same time, and he can carry on 55 different conversations saying to each person what they need to hear. Why? He's the one that gathers up the pieces and puts people back together. The Spirit of God breathed upon Jesus. Acts of the Apostles, page 37, says, during the patriarchal age, the influence of the Holy Spirit had often been revealed in a marked manner, but never in its fullness. Now, y'all can sit there calm if you want to, but you see, I'm feeling good right now because I know I live in the era when the Holy Ghost is really showing off. I live in that time when this immeasurable person, unlike any of the Godhead, who has this universal presence and power, is now made manifest. All I need to do, got to preach about that later, is increase my capacity. All I need to ask God for is willingness to receive, because he's ready. And he showed in one swoop what he can do. He dropped down on 12 ignorant men and had them speaking. In fact, actually, the apostle says when he got done with them at Pentecost that the apostles could speak any language in the world fluently. Hey, y'all too calm for me. This is the kind of power available to the church. He can take folks without PhDs and make them lingual specialists in one moment, dropping down like flames of fire, empowering people. This is the Holy Ghost. And he declared, I'm here with Jesus. I've anointed him
So when Jesus healed, that's the Holy Ghost. When Jesus preached, that's the Holy Ghost. When Jesus brought folks from the dead, that's the Holy Ghost. Why? He had anointed Jesus. He wanted us to know what Jesus did through me, you can do through me. He declared to the apostles, greater works than these shall you do. How come we're not doing those greater works? We just read it where it's little thought of, where the Holy Spirit is little thought of and discussed, prayed for. Let me go back to it again. I said it. It may have gone by. It may have shot right by you. When's the last time you've gotten on your knees and did not pray for the bills, did not pray for bread, did not pray for the car to start, did not pray for your marriage, did not pray for the degree? When's the last time you spent an hour on your knees just asking to be filled with power? Like being hungry. Anybody knows Henry Wright knows I like to eat. When I get done preaching on Sabbath, I'm going to eat. And I stand out there in that lobby. I shake your hands and be real nice. God bless you. Thank you. Good to see you. I'm glad you came. So forth. Yeah, yeah. Then I'm going to walk down this aisle and shoot over next door because I want to eat. You know, when you want to eat, you get focused. Can I get a witness? Get focused. Yeah, I'll see you going by. Hey, glad you came. God bless you. Can we talk, Pastor? Go on an errand, but moving around. I want to eat. Can I just have a moment of counseling? After the beans and rice, then we'll counsel. All afternoon, give me some food. Why? It's a lesson to me. It's important. When something is important, we do not let anything get in the way. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he declared. Jesus understood the nature of his ministry. He had revealed the Father. And now the Spirit would reveal them both to humanity. Let's go to John 14:16, then I'm done. John 14:16. You need to understand the personhood of the Spirit of God. And so Jesus, in like only he can, with language esky that's specific and eloquent and pointed, defines the Spirit in one text. Here it is, John 14:16. You see it? It's on the screen. Let's read. Come on. I need more help. Start again. I will pray the Father, and he will give you. That's good enough. Good enough. Try to stay calm because this what's coming is good. It's this real good. Another helper. There are two words in the Greek for another. One is eteros. Eteros is explained like this. You give me a chocolate chip cookie. And I say, I want another cookie. And you hand me an oatmeal cookie. You just did eteros. You handed me another cookie, but not of the same kind. But if I've just had a delicious chocolate chip cookie and rolled on, I say, I want another cookie, and you allos me, it means you give me another chocolate chip cookie. In that verse, help me, Jesus, is the word allos. Jesus is saying, you disciples don't need to worry. I'm sending you another God of the same kind. Powerful like me, creating like me, loving like me, gentle like me, caring. I'm not going to send just any God. I'm going to send a God who's just like me, but I'm going to send him with advantages, not limited in space like me. Everywhere at once as I cannot be. I'm going to send you another one just like me, but even better than me. Somebody say amen out there. And so God, Jesus, gladly, see, think about the sacrifice of Jesus. To give up omnipresence. Not omnipotence, he still got that. Not omniscience, he still got that. But omnipresence, he gave it up so that he could be like us forever. But he sent someone who in spirit and character was just like him, his friend, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this great gift. And so this word is powerful. And then the word for comforter is the word paraclete. Paraclete. There's only one other person in the Bible with whom the word paraclete is used. When the Bible says in 1 John 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the word advocate is paraclete. If I get somebody just to stay awake for a few minutes. So the comforter, the Holy Spirit, paraclete. The advocate, Jesus, paraclete. Another of the same kind. Folk, you don't lose anything when you get the Holy Ghost. See, that's the thing I'm trying to get you. You have everything you need. You see, this is why the three are one. See, you don't really need to divide the Father from the Son from the Spirit. They all bring the same thing, but the Spirit's assignment is to bring this world to conversion. And the Spirit has the ability to do that. And the thing about him is, not only is he converting the world, he's also saving and preserving the world, because without his presence, human beings would go mad. Now, my last sermon in this series will be When the Holy Ghost Leaves. And I'm going to talk about all the kinds of things. You know, Renee, that the Holy Ghost sits in meetings? Yeah, they're political meetings. There are politicians sitting in places right now planning evil. The Holy Ghost is there. He's there. And he intervenes and has them say stuff they didn't mean to say. Backs up plans and erases plans they thought that they don't know. They're not in charge. My God has got the whole world in his hands. He's not going to leave this planet to Trumps or Putins. He said, I brought it in, I'll take it out. My way or the highway. I thank God that he likes being in charge. So through the Holy Spirit, God keeps things the way things ought to be and makes things happen the way they ought to happen. It was about 10 years later, and a young man who had a cleaning business was driving through streets trying to find new customers. He had bought his business from his boss. As he turns down this one street with eloquent homes, he starts recognizing the street. I think I've been here before. And then his mind kind of starts going back. As he turns the corner, that house. You see, he's the young man who was the supervisor 10 years before. Remember him in the story? When the vase was broken. He now has bought out the owner. He couldn't resist John. So he goes up and he knocks on the door. Sure enough, the lady comes, still eloquent, still looking just fine. And he says, "Madam, you remember me?" Without batting an eye, she said, "Follow me." It's been 10 years. 10 years. Into the room, there's the glass case. There's the vase. He said, "This is impossible." As he looked close, he could see there were little spots and so forth, but it was basically the vase. He said, she said, "The vase was made by my father, myself, and my brother." He said, "You put this back together?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "It took three to make it. It'll take three to remake it. We worked together until it was fixed." "How long?" She said, "When you're fixing something you love, you don't count days and hours. You just fix it." That's me, Kevin. Strewn all over the place. Messed up and tore up. He had to pierce his hand. He bled to fix me. But the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost did not stop till all the pieces were back together.
Yes.
There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three fix vases together. Perhaps today's message has made you conscious more deeply of what Jesus has done for you. I don't know when you got broke, but you did. I don't know when you got shattered, but if you've lived long enough on this earth, you've been shattered. I don't know when you've been scattered in pieces, but I'm sure there's been that moment when you didn't think you could pray enough to get yourself back together. But the day's simple message has spoken to you of what God's Holy Spirit has been doing for you, even though you didn't acknowledge it. And you're thankful that he even bloodied his hand to put your pieces back together. Are you thankful? Would you stand up? Would you stand up in recognition and thanksgiving to the Lord for the Holy Spirit? Is there another verse? Okay, sing it again. Your heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Thank the Holy Spirit. Pray and thank the Holy Spirit. Thank the Holy Spirit.
Fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Sing this simple chorus with him as your prayer, everybody. Singing, Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
This is your personal prayer now, your personal prayer. Someone today who wants to take it a step further, even thinking about transferring to this church, taking Bible studies, maybe preparing for baptism, you want to take it a step further. Would you just step from where you are and come now? And we're going to sing the chorus one more time, but this time Heskey and a cappella, all of us together. And Marlitas.
Spirit of the Living.
Will someone come?
God,
just come forward.
Fall afresh on me. Break me, melt.
refreshment. We need it. And through these messages, we're trying to find the focus. Ultimately, it is not a congregational thing, it's an individual thing. Someone can walk in this church tomorrow, next Sabbath, filled, because they make that the priority. Filled, fixed, unshattered, unbroken, unbruised, healed. It's an individual thing. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.